Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. We are live today, thankful, grateful, and blessed that God has given us another opportunity to do His will and not just ours. But this word of God today is a great word. We will be coming out of 1 Peter, and we're just going to start. We're going to go back and do chapter 1 today. We're going to go back and just do all five chapters this morning so we have everything in context, because what God gave me was be willing to change for the Lord's sake. So many times we want to get caught up in ourselves that we forget that the Lord Jesus gave His life today than we were yesterday. You know, He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be compassionate. He wants us to be the best we can be. So we got a little bit of word to get through this morning. And some of you, please, who have checked in and said, well, I don't think they have a show today. We are here and we are live, and I am thankful that God gave me the opportunity to be with you again this morning. Whew, what a word, what a word. So we're just going to go back to the basics and back to the beginning and do this word the right way. And we're going to just stay in 1 Peter today. And I'm going to go back to Peter chapter 1. And our word of God says this morning in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance of incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith be much more precious than gold, and perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of grace that would come to you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when He testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without stain was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Ooh, I love this word. Who through him believed in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flowers fall away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preach to you. And we're going to do life lessons and questions and examples and what the Bible says. We're going to do all of those after we finish our chapters this morning, time permitting, and I believe it will. So again, I thank you this morning. I ask God to increase as I decrease, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in his holy sight. For he is my redeemer. He is the strength. He is my absolute. He is my everything. I can't do this without him. So, Father God, I thank you for everything. I thank you for waking me up this morning. I thank you for giving me this word that only you can give. I thank you for being a holy God, for allowing us to change for your sake, to be better than we were yesterday, to have a better day today. But Lord God, we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are your sons and daughters. And Father God, I stand on the rock of salvation. I stand on the foundation of your word, and I lift up those listening live and those that listen later, asking you to watch over them, asking you to bless them, asking you to guide them, asking you to lead them, asking you, Lord God, to give us all that we need for the sake of our Savior Christ Jesus, who died on Calvary's cross for our sins. He didn't have to do it, but he came into this wicked world for us. And for him, oh God, we are set free. And for him, oh God, we live. For you, God, we die. For you, God, we live. For your sake, help me to change, God, to be better today than I was yesterday. In the name of Christ Jesus, I lift up this word and ask you, Lord God, again, please increase as I decrease in Jesus' name. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Is a rich word this morning. And there's some things in it that folks are going to be like, well, you know, all of that is just, that's that time. No, it's our time too. If we do what we need to do for the sake of the word of God and for God's sake, for God I live and for God I die, and have that in our spirit, knowing that this word is what you stand on, everything else falls into place. And we are going into 1 Peter chapter 2. And it says this, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, the Lord is good, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The stone, the builders rejected, hallelujah. We are building our house every day. We are building our heavenly home every day. And it says this, therefore, to you who believe he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a stone of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. There's going to be folks that's going to talk about you. But there's going to be folks that see what you do for God. Because folks going to talk about it. Even, I don't care if you are a saint. There's somebody that's going to talk about you being too good, being too nice, being too this, being too that. They just think they are all that. Just always trying to do good. Always trying to be Miss Perfect or Mr. This or Mr. That. Let it go. Shake it off and keep on moving. Because we are not doing anything for man. We are doing it for the sake of God. And our goal is to help somebody be saved. For the sake of the Lord, we got to do what's right. And we got to change. So folks that see you today, don't see who you were yesterday. Don't see when you were in your sin. Don't see you was when you was hanging out in the club. Don't see you as the person who used to cuss them out because you had a nasty mouth. They don't see who that person is because you've changed for the Lord's sake, you for salvation. You've changed because you are a child of God. You've changed. You are a different creation because you are now of a royal priesthood. You are beloved of God. And it goes on to tell us, beloved, I beg you, and I'm going to say it again, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Did y'all hear that? Bam. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him, punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of those who do good. There are those that say, I don't want to do this because I'm not going against God. I got faith and da 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 da. But when you read the word of God, the Lord says, submit yourself to government. So if for the sake of the whole, government says we need everybody who can be. And note I say who can be, because there are some people who cannot be vaccinated and who should not be vaccinated because of different health concerns. But that's something that they need to talk about between them and the doctor. But if you can be and the government says we need you to be so we can nip this thing in the bud, why are you complaining? Why are you having a moment about everything when you're doing it for your fellow men? You're doing it to save your brothers and your sisters' life. You're doing it for your children and your grandchildren so that you don't leave this world in all that agony and they have to see it on ventilations and all of that stuff. But I believe in the power of prayer. And I believe that God can heal anybody and everybody. I believe that. But I also know that when it's our time, it's our time. And I know there's something, all things are a choice. We have a choice to make. What do you do for your fellow man? What do you do for God? What do you do for someone other than yourself? And are you a hypocrite? Talking about what you and your body and how your body is this and your body's that, but yet you want to legislate somebody else's body and their decisions. Because if you're that person, then you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. I'm not judging you. I can't judge you because I have no heaven or hell to put you in. Only God can judge any of us. But I tell you this, when you read the word of God, you find out a whole lot of stuff. And I'm not talking about standing and somebody screaming and hollering at you from a pulpit. Read it yourself. That's what we do. We read it ourselves. And we know that we got to be willing to change. We got to be willing to change for the gospel of Jesus Christ. For our Lord God, we got to be willing to change. As a testament says, change me, O Lord. Make me more like you. And so I'm going to go back one more time and read this chapter 2 of 1 Peter, starting verse 13. And it says this, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to the governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. servants, be submissive to your masters. And we understand that this verse was used by evildoers. This verse was used by slavers. This verse was used by those who wanted to bastardize the word of God to do evil things. But understand, you can't bastardize the word of God, because I'm going to tell you this. God will beat your behind. And know this. What you try to do to others, God will flip that script every time. But this was used during slavery, the 400 years of enslavement of African Americans in this nation. See, this verse was used. But they took sections of the word and tried to switch it and change it to make folks think it was all right to be slaves. But let's read the word and see what God's word says. It says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also the harsh. For this is commendable if, because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your fault, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return, and when he suffered he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by the whose stripes we were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseers of your soul. Don't think that those that do evil will get away with it, because they won't. God will not allow it. God won't allow it. Folks can try to change history, but history is history. And it has nothing to do with critical race theory or any of that other foolishness that's out on the airwaves. It has everything to do with what is right and what is good in the sight of God. How do you treat your fellow man? We will all have to stand before the throne and be asked that question, what did you do to help someone be saved? Are you saved? Do you believe that? Did you just mouth the word because everybody else was saying on Sunday? Did you say you were speaking in tongue when you knew you were speaking gibberish and that the Holy Spirit was not in you? God will judge each of us according to our works, according to what we have done. Works alone are not going to get you into heaven. But what did you do for the Lord's sake? Did you change your ways? Did you quit cussing? Did you quit being negative? Did you quit doing lustful, evil things? Did you stop drinking, smoking, fornicating, adulterous behavior, being wicked? What did you do to change for the Lord, to be a better human being for God's sake? Would you willingly give up your life for someone else's safety? Would you give yourself away so the Lord can use you? And this is another verse that is used against women. That is used against women. Because folks want to submit to wives, but God is not wanting us to be abused. We got to love each other. We are God's children, and he loves us so much. Loving God is what we do. Love God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm thanking God this morning. And this is what it says here. And like I said, this has been used against wives, but when we get the whole concept and we get it all in context, we find out that it's a love letter. It's about loving and respecting each other. Husbands loving and respecting their wives, and wives loving and respecting their husbands. It's not what you think, and it's not how it's been used. So let's read the word of God and see what God's word says. And it says this: wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband. Excuse me. That even if some do not obey the word, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be that hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, for you do good and are not afraid with any terror. We can't walk in fear. We walk in faith. Even as wives, you walk in faith that if you have a wicked husband, God will handle him. You don't have to walk in fear. You walk in faith. Let your light shine all over him. That when he sees you and thinks that it's his right to try to put his hands on you, the light of God shines all over him. And he feels ashamed. Because understand, God will remove that man. God will remove him. I was blessed to be a wife of a good husband, actually a great husband, who was there now, even today, taking care of his family. Thanking God for that. But I tell you this, I was a faithful wife. Folks look at you crazy and want to talk about you when you follow your husband. If your husband says, "God, move," you move. I won't tell you that it was not easy. But when your husband, it says, "I got a command of a unit, so we got to move to this city." And you're looking at them like, "You must be crazy. You can commute." But instead, you do what you have to do. Understanding that you trust to God. And when God says, submit to your husband, do that. But God does not want any woman to stay in an abusive relationship. Because this is what folks forget. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, with to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayer may be not be hindered. What does it say? Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. It doesn't say husbands beat your wives into submissiveness. It doesn't say husbands abuse your wives. What does it say? Husbands likewise. Because it says wives likewise be submissive to your own husbands. That even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. And that's not fear of your husband. That's fear of the Lord. Do not let your adornments be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. But it's saying likewise, meaning husbands, be loving God just like your wife. Be chaste, be honorable, be good men. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife, not to the side chick, not to the woman down the street, not to boo-boo's mama, but to your wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together, that your prayers may not be hindered. And it goes on to say, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessings, knowing that you were called to that, to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Don't be liars. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? You better leave. The evil one can't bother you. We give the devil too much credit. We got to start standing on the word of God and upholding the word of God and saying, I stand on the word. I stand on the word. And it comes on to say, but even if you should suffer for righteous sake, or suffer for righteousness sake, you are blessed. But no, it says, suffer for righteousness sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you as reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. It is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls. Did y'all catch that? Because I was listening to a podcast, and this person said, well, we don't know if it was just the eight people or if it was Noah's sons, and they may have had more than one wife, and Noah may have had more than one wife, and so it could have been more than, no, Don't listen to that kind of stuff. And I had to turn them off. I said, that is a lie. Because the word of God, period, not any extras, eight. What does it say? Let me go back to the word of God. And it says this. Let me go back to verse. Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through the water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. We go by the word of God. Don't worry about what some he said, she said. If somebody says you that stuff, oh, well, we don't know. Yeah, we do, because the word of God tells us. Stand on the word every time. And when you stand on the word of God every time, folks will back down. They don't know the word. All they know is something that's been preached to them on the internet, because they don't feel like it's right to go into the church. If you are concerned about COVID, and so you can't go to church, but you can go to work, what's the difference? You're exposed more at work than you're going to be exposed at church. You're exposed more in the grocery store than you're going to be at church. But you got folks that stay in home from God's house because they're afraid of COVID. But yet they go everywhere else, including the club. Can't go to church. We better understand God is watching everything we're doing. Everything. And remember this, God is in charge. And we need to change for his sake. He ain't got to change for us. We got to change for him to be acceptable, to be part of the royal priesthood, to be holy, to be God's children. 1 Peter chapter 4 says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. We got to change. Change me, O Lord. Make me more like you. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, robberies, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Because you don't hang out with the folks you used to. They want to talk about you. Oh, well, they think they sold this and that. Don't call me. Because I'm different now. Okay. So I want to be different. But I remember when you was doing such and such and stuff, you was kicking it just like we was. Now you so holy because you go to church and you do this and you do that. You know what? Shake that mess off. Don't let them people get to you. Keep it moving. But you are a child of God. I don't know who I'm talking to today. I tell you this. You are God's appointed, God's anointed. Let them see the new you so they don't want to be new too. Come on now. They acting new. Yes, I am. I'm new. I'm different than I was yesterday because I know who my daddy is. Shake off all that foolishness, family. Don't let anybody make you feel bad for being saved. They want to be saved too. Just let them see your light. As my kids were singing yesterday, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And let's we keep moving forward. It says, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's manners. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? We can't be always meddling in everybody else's business. We got enough of our own to deal with. And I'm going to read that again. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's manners. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Don't let folks make you feel bad for doing good. You do what God called you to do, and you do it to the best of your ability. Do what God calls you to do. If God calls you to evangelize, evangelize. If God calls you to minister, minister. If God calls you just to call someone and give a word of a love, to say, I'm thinking about you, and I just want you to know I've been praying for you. And pray for them. And lift them up. If they've been sick, pray for them and say, I heard that you weren't feeling well, and I just want you to know you're on my mind. We got to say those things. Tell people you love them while you live and while they live. Treat each other with goodness and kindness and the love of God, because God loves you. Love God and take care of each other. Love God, God to lift you up when you're going through, and help others. But God loves you. And this is the word that God gave us. It says in life lessons, whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in the deep places. Psalms 135 and 6. We didn't read that today, but I wanted to put that in the context of this lesson. And this is what the word of, that God gave Dr. Stanley said. It may be simplistic to say that God does whatever he wants to, but it really isn't. The key is, what does he want to do? It pleases the Lord to do good, to show mercy, to restore grace, and nothing can stop him. So if it pleases the Lord to do good, and we want to be changed for the Lord's sake, then we want to do good too. So that's where that's coming from. I had to go back to that Psalm word to wrap this all up. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, verse 4, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. He says, what would happen in our spiritual lives if we spend as much time working on our souls as we do on our bodies? Our bodies are not unimportant, but they will die. Our spirit, however, will live forever. As we've spoken many times, everything that we have on this outside is that outside. It's going to turn back to dust. It's going to be food for the worms. But what we have on the inside is what's important, and that is your spirit. God does not look or care about how you look, whether you're big, whether you're small, whether you're black or whether you're white. But there is no such thing as white except for clothes. We got to understand that. We are all children of God. And some have melanin and some don't. Some are lighter than some are not. But we're all the same to God. We are his children. And he loves us. And he wants us to do good. He wants us to be the best we can be. And it goes on to say, husbands likewise do well with them with understanding to the wife. It says, why would failing to make the effort to understand and honor his wife hinder a husband's prayers? All believers, men and women, are co-heirs of God's promise, and he wants us to treat each other as we would treat him. Would you beat God? Would you hurt God? Would you vilify God? And I don't know if there's someone out there that's listening this morning who has been claiming to be a man of God but abusive at his wife at home. And this is who this word is for. And I tell you, God sees everything that you're doing. Change for the Lord's sake and be the loving husband that you're supposed to be. I never know what God's given me and who he's given it for, but somebody needs to be listening. If you are being abusive to your parents, someone God has put in your care, you better change, because God is watching you and seeing it. And God wants you to be good. He wants you to know that he loves you, but you got to take care of those that God puts in your care. And as we continue, it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. If someone were to ask you today why you are a Christian, what would you say? How would you answer someone who said there are many ways to God? How would you defend your belief in the resurrection of Christ? We got to be willing to stand up and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he rose from the dead, and I believe that I am saved by his grace. By his blood, I'm healed from the wickedness that I may have been. I am not who I used to be, because I am a child of God, and he saved my life. He changed me. He made me better. He made me brand new. Hallelujah. I am who God says I am, and I will be who God asks me and tells me to be. Because I trust in my Father, because he never let me down. And he said he will be with me always. And Jesus said, whatever I ask, he will do it. I will do it, whatever God tells me to do, because he is always there for me. Change me, oh Lord. Make me brand new. And this is a thing that it says in Life Lesson for chapter 4, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Had he chosen to do so, God could have taken us immediately to heaven when we placed our faith in Christ. But he didn't. Why not? He wants us to reach others for him. He wants us to reach others for him by showing them how his power changes our lives. Change because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Thanks be to God who causes us to triumph in his name. 1 Peter chapter 4, 4, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. There's going to be folks that's going to talk about you. that's going to talk about what you used to do and how you used to do it and who you used to do and who you used to do it with. Shake that mess off. You are brand new because you are God's daughters and sons. People who knew you before we placed our faith in Christ simply will not understand why we no longer want to participate in some of the ungodly things we did before we found God's love. Don't listen to their taunts. Shake off that foolishness and keep on moving forward with God because you are new. You are different. You are changed. And this goes on to say in verse number 8 of chapter 4, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Even in the best of churches and the most godly of homes, things go wrong. Got the hand up. What do we do then? The place to start and end is to choose to imitate God's love for us and bear with one another. That's what we got to do. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. It says, did you realize that it is God's will for us to suffer at some points along the way of life's journey? We are appointed to it, 1 Thessalonians 3:3, and are to glory in it, Romans 5:3. Only trust in God enables us to endure. We're going to all go through. We will all go through our ups. We will all go through our downs. But when we trust God, everything else falls into place. And that is a word we have for today. Keep trusting God, family. Change for God's sake. If you're doing wrong, do better. And if you're doing good, keep doing good. But know that even if you're going through, that God is going to get you through. Because understand, when you go through the storms of life, at the end of the storm is a rainbow. And it comes from God to say, I got you. And so I thank God for having us. I get filled up when I think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for me. And all that he's doing for you. Say hallelujah. Thank God every day for loving you more than you love yourself. For being there for you in your good, your bad, and even in your ugly. Be there for you, caring about you and loving you. So just a couple of words from my sister in Christ from Friday. It says, faith is not knowing what the future holds, but knowing who holds your future. Hallelujah. And yesterday's word is this: faith and love are the keys to victory in every situation. And I haven't got a word yet from Sister Carolyn this morning, but I say to you today, keep God first and do good. But that is reasonable service to the Lord. Treat each other the way you want to be treated. And above all things, taste and see that the Lord is gracious, that the Lord is good, and that he wants us to be gracious and good too. Keep God first in everything you do and watch him work in your life. May the blessings of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit cover you from the crowns of your heads to the soles of your feet. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of the matchless Savior, Jesus Christ, peace to you and love. I love you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for each and every one of you. Have a blessed day, family. Thank you so very much for joining me this morning as we move forward through the word of God. For God's word is the word that will sustain us and get us through the day. Let his love cover you in all that you do. Love somebody. Call a family member and tell them that you love them. Tell them that you miss them. And tell them that you want the best for them and mean it. keep doing good and watch God work in your life. Thank you all for joining me again. Have a blessed morning. Find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And know that God's word is what we stand on. Don't let anybody take you down the road of crazy, is what I'm going to call it. Don't let anybody try to pull you back into the past. You are new because you belong to God. Take care, family, and be willing to change for the Lord's sake, because he took the cross for your sake. Grateful. Be thankful. And know that you are blessed to be a child of God. Have a wonderful day, family. Keep my family in your prayers as we travel the highways and byways to take my mom home. We've had a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend with my mother, and we're about to go to church. So I love you all. Be blessed. Again, I say thank you, God, for all of you. Have a great day. And don't forget, call a family member. Call a friend. Call somebody and tell them I love you. And amen. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap. Why? Hey, y'all. It's time to go to work. Love you. Be blessed.